How's everything going?
Oh, absolutely blessed, buddy. I mean, this is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And it's been interesting to me because, you know, for the last few weeks I've been working on this program that we're going to be doing today on the Kabbalah. And it's one of those things that you kind of sit back and you look at it and you go, they don't really believe this, do they? And you're kind of like, yeah, they really do. And you go back and you go, no, they can't believe that. So you do more research. You go, yeah, they believe that too. And you're like, no, they can't believe all this stuff. And you do some more research and, yeah, sure enough, they believe that too. And you're like, what the heck, man? This stuff is so weird. And let me kind of give you an idea why it started and where it started. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels that the Jews of that day had nullified the word of God for the sake of their traditions. And these traditions were basically things that were handed down from elders to elders to elders. And a lot of it had come out of the Eastern mysticism and the Babylonian religions and the religions out of the Canaanites and also out of Egypt. And they had all kinds of weird things they would do. And he said that you would nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. Instead of following the Torah, the five first books of Levitical law, the Pentateuch, they were going out and they were doing all kinds of stuff that really just wasn't in line with what the word of God said. I mean, the Bible very clearly in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it forbids homosexuality, it forbids incest, it forbids all kinds of things under the penalty of death. But yet they were continuing to practice a lot of this stuff out of Egypt, which we talked about so many times, and also all the way back to the ancient Canaanite fertility rituals. And they were doing all of this on the side. That's why Jesus said in the book of John, when they were talking about their daddy was Abraham, because your daddy's not Abraham, your daddy is the devil, it's Lucifer, it's Satan. And they said, that's not our father. And then they were going to stone him to death. And they became very angry at him. Now, Jesus was the Messiah. He came for the Jewish people to accept. But God knew, because God's omnipresent, that Jesus Christ wasn't going to be accepted by the bulk of the majority of the people there in Jerusalem, because they were the stubborn, stiff-necked people that God had talked about throughout the entire Old Testament and who were still practicing their ancient Canaanite rituals. So Jesus called them out and ended up getting crucified for it, and then he was resurrected from the dead. And when he was resurrected from the dead, it changed everything. And he warned the Jews before he died. He says, look, here's the deal. You know, the temple's going to be destroyed. He told them. He told them what was going to happen. Well, in 70 AD, after Christ had been, you know, basically ascended for like 37 years, after he was already ascended and gone back to heaven, what he told the Jews happened. The Romans finally had enough of the rebellious, stiff-necked Jews and their sacrifice and all the other things that were going on in Herod's temple. They tore it all down. They burned it. And they decided to kill, you know, several people say several million Jews in the area. They decided just to go ahead and massacre them and be done with them. And all of this was basically because of what they said. Let Jesus' death be upon us on our generations to come. They basically cursed themselves by what they said when he was standing on trial before them and they could release Barabbas or release Jesus. Now, we've known this for thousands of years. The church understood that the end of Israel at that point, the end of the Jewish rituals, all of that stuff marked the end of Israel as far as in prophecy. And then suddenly, because of the Scofield Reference Bible and Cyrus Scofield and Darby, we reinstate Israel back into a prophetic meaning in that Israel has to be restored before Christ can come back. Now, we understand that the Bible says the temple is going to be rebuilt in Thessalonians, but we as Christians are not supposed to be part of the onset of the tribulation to destroy the planet intentionally. But because of the teachings of Darby and, of course, of Zionism, we now have thousands and thousands of pastors all over the country who believe that Israel can do no wrong, that the Jews are God's chosen people. Even though they were written out of the scripture and all of their stuff was fulfilled in the Old Testament, we want to believe that they're part of it again. Even World War II, much of World War II was fought to restore Israel and to force the Palestinians out of their land, through the Balfour Declaration, which happened before World War I. All of this stuff now we're understanding. But what we don't understand is what happened. See, when I was really young, when I was a young Christian, you know, we always wanted to reach out to the Jews. And so we thought, well, the Jews really know the Old Testament. They really know the Torah. They really know, you know, from Genesis to Malachi. They know all of this stuff so well. We've got to learn about the minor, the major prophets, and all these different things, because that's what's important to the Jews. And if we want to reach out to a Jew to become a Christian and to convert them, to proselytize a Jew, we have to have the ability to understand the Old Testament. Well, then I started realizing just about 10 years ago that they don't really study the Old Testament. They don't really believe in heaven or hell. They use something they call the Kabbalah, in the Zohar, which basically, you know, is, you know, Jewish mysticism, and they also use the Talmud. And the thing that's so funny about all of this stuff is that, you know, the Torah is the basis that we all think of Judaism, but it's not to these guys. In fact, many of the rabbis who go and become rabbis, they don't even study the Old Testament or the Torah. They study the Kabbalah, the Zohar, and the Talmud. And see, this is what we have to understand. Judaism, as we think of Judaism, as they practiced in the Old Testament during the days of Jesus, is not the same as the Judaism is practiced today. Now, everything I've just told you is just historical fact based upon Christianity that was regarded as historical accuracy from the Christian church until the mid-1800s with Darby and then with all of the stuff with the Scofield Bible. And remember this, the guy who pushed the Scofield Bible, Samuel Untermeyer, was also a Zionist, hardcore Zionist, also a Masonic leader. And we're going to talk about that today, too. We're going to tie the Masonic lodges directly into the Kabbalah today. We're going to do that start with on the show. We're going to start into that, then I'm going to tell you what the Kabbalah believes. But what happened is this. If you look on Wikipedia, or you go back into the Judica, which basically talks about the history of the Jews, there's a guy by the name of Lag B'Omer. And Lag B'Omer is a holiday that falls between Passover and Shabbat. Okay, Lag is a combination of Hebrew letters, Lame and Gamal. And I'm going to talk about what happens. And, of course, that's a holiday. It's not a person. It says, the Romans attacked Israel and destroyed the Second Temple of Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. The Jews were prohibited from studying the Torah. Fortunately, there were a number of rabbis who defied the Jewish law. And what happened is the Romans were basically, a lot of these guys would go out into caves and they would try to stay with the Romans to try to practice Judaism. Another rabbi who was hanging in the cave in the area of Israel were two of them. There was a Shimon bar Yachi, Shimon bar Yachai. He was another rabbi student, and that was Rabbi Akiva. Now, I'm trying to keep these names to an amount. So Rabbi Akiva was the guy who's out in the cave. Shimon bar Yachi was the student who went out and fought the Romans to avoid being put to death. He and his son went into hiding in a cave in the Galilee area near Israel. While they were hiding, they studied the Torah all day and prayed all night. Well, all of a sudden, he had a vision, and something came to him, and he wrote the Kabbalah. Now, he also supposedly studied the Torah. The problem is, when he wrote the Kabbalah, or the Zohar, the book that's his primary book, the Zohar, and some people say there are other people who are also involved in it, this is the base of Catholicism or Jewish mysticism. He was in this cave for 12 years. And this is who we were. They were in the later, after 12 years of captivity, the rabbi and his son basically were freed, and the Roman leader died. I believe it was Tiberius was the leader at that time. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff is he had time to write the Kabbalah. Now, let me kind of go to this guy. Now, this is now we're reading out of Wikipedia. Shimon bar Yachai. Shimon bar Yachai. Some call him Shimon ben Yachai. Okay, he was basically is known also by his acronym Rashbi, and he was a second century sage in ancient Judea who's said to be active after the destruction of the Second Temple. Now, he was the one, again, here it says right here, he wrote the Zohar, the chief work of Kabbalah. So you guys can look all of this stuff up and you can see that I'm telling you guys the truth. Now, what I want to do is I want to tie this together right now with the 30th degree Scottish Rite Temple Masonic Lodge, to tie it, to link it back to the Kabbalah. Albert Pike says that the entire principles of Masonic lodges and masonry is based in the Kabbalah. He wrote the book Morals and Dogma. He was the man that President Johnson pardoned after the Civil War, which got Johnson impeached, and he missed being taken out of office by like one vote, if I remember correctly. But what happened with Johnson is this guy who wrote Morals and Dogma, he was a war criminal. Right, he was a war criminal, and he basically was going to be tried and executed, and he was pardoned by Johnson. And when this happened, it was because the war criminal was higher than the president. Basically, he was the Grand Masonic Lodge leader of the entire country at that point, and so he was in authority over the president of the United States. You know, this is Morals and Dogma. And what's interesting about all of this stuff, when you stop by and you take a look at this stuff, you say, well, how in the world can Morals and Dogma and Albert Pike and all of these people have so much power and authority? The entire United States was founded, as far as the 1776 Revolution and the history of the Capitol buildings and everything else, by George Washington and all the men of those days in 1776, and the leaders of the party and the leaders of the people in the United States were Masonic Lodge members. They were all about the Kabbalah. They were Masonic Lodges. Now, later, Albert Pike, you know, this is like 75 years later, when he wrote Morals and Dogma, he streamlined the Masonic rituals. Now, let me share something with you really quickly. Up to the 30th degree, they don't really do a whole lot with these guys. They don't really talk a whole lot about what's happening, and they don't really go into detail as far as Lucifer. They say it's the great architect that they're worshiping and that they're paying homage to. The problem with the person that they're talking about as far as the great architect, and I'm going to show you this in the scripture in just a second, is Lucifer. Okay, this is who they're talking about, you know, the light bearer. And what they do, the part seven, this is the Knights of Kadosh. This is the 30th degree Masonic Lodge stuff. Now I'm pulling this right off the internet. I'm reading these things. It says they believe that the scripture are fables. They believe that Christianity is based on fables and superstitions. So that at the 30th degree, they pull the gloves off with the initiates, and they realize that they're about to let them know exactly what's going on. When they walk into the Masonic Lodge for that 30th degree ritual, the apartment, the ritual is hung like a mortuary with a black tapestry, almost like a cave that they're in. Now, what happens is they walk up to this casket. There's a casket in the lodge with a person who's supposedly dead, but he's not dead, okay? And they ask this person, they come up to this person, they start talking to him, and the person says, "Who disturbs me from my sleep?" And you go, "Well, this sounds really weird." And then the person in the sleep warns them, basically they can leave. They can leave if they want to, but they're going to be given secrets that if they stay, that it'll be punishable by death. Now you think, what the heck? Yeah, that's what I thought too. And so all of a sudden, this person's speaking to them from the casket. Now, guess who's talking to him? Guess who's talking to him from the casket? It's Simon ben Yochi, the same guy who wrote the Kabbalah. He's basically come back from the dead. He's basically there looking at them, talking to them, and basically it's revealing all of this from him. So the same guy who wrote the Kabbalah is the same guy who's laying in the casket, supposedly in the 30th degree program. This is what they do. And then they're told that they have to follow the religion of the lodge, that all other religions, even from their childhood, including Christianity or any other religion they were in, is gone and null and void, and it was a superstition. This is how satanic it is. Now you say, well, this is crazy. What does all this mean? Well, it kind of goes back to Isaiah 14:16, and it says, "Those who see you will gaze at you," this is this Bashogi guy, "and answer you, saying, is this man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms?" Again, this is Lucifer looking back from them, basically in the depths. And so this is who these folks in the Masonic lodges. So guys, if you're in the Masonic lodges right now and you're listening to me and you're like first degree, second degree, and you really don't know all the stuff going on, this is what you've got to look forward to. You get to renounce Christianity. They tell you this by, at this point in time, they let you know the great architect is Lucifer. And this is who you're basically going to be worshiping, and you're going to leave behind all your other religions. 30th degree Masonic Lodge ritual, written by Albert Pike, streamlined by Albert Pike, basically talking to the man in the casket who wrote the Kabbalah. That's how tied together this is with the Kabbalah. It's the book of Jewish mysticism, and also it is one of the primary books of almost every other weird, evil religion, including theosophy, Freemasonry, witchcraft, Satanism, Gnosticism, Jehovah's Witness, all of this, all together. You know, it tells us in the Bible, the wicked do wickedly, but the wise shall understand. These guys are doing wicked because they want to do wicked. Albert Pike, the former Grand Commander of the Scottish Freemasonry, in his book Morals and Dogma, he said that Kabbalah is the very foundation of Masonic lodges and Freemasonry. You know, they believe that Jesus is the grand, not Jesus, they believe that Satan is the grand architect of the universe, and Jesus' name is forbidden to be spoken in a lodge. Are you listening to me right now? Jesus' name is forbidden to be spoken in a lodge. Now, think about this for a second. When I was in seventh grade, I had a man, a really nice guy, my history teacher, his name was Albert Brulich. He took me to a Demolay meeting. And I went to a Masonic lodge. I was like 11 years old. They were asking us to do all this weird stuff and say all these weird things. And we kept saying, Lord, 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 Lord. And then finally the next day, we came back from this meeting and Albert, Mr. Gruelich said to me, he goes, Al, he says, what in the world, what do you think about last night? I said, well, I'm confused. I said, where's Jesus? I said, we're calling Lord, but I'm assuming this is Christ, but they're not saying Jesus' name. Why is that? And he's had some excuse. I don't remember. He's dead now, but he rest in peace. He's a great guy, nice guy. Later on in his life, I asked him. He was no longer involved in Masonic lodges. And what ended up happening is I never went back. I thought, this isn't right. And I was never invited back because I started talking about the name of Jesus immediately because I'd been going to the Lutheran church. And I couldn't understand what in the world all this secrecy was about and why they wouldn't mention who the God was that we were talking to. It was weird to me, guys. So this is the thing. The name of Jesus is forbidden to be spoken of these things. So now we know that the guy who wrote the Kabbalah, the Zohar, basically the Zohar who started this Jewish mysticism, is the same guy that is invoked from the dead in the casket in the 33 ritual. Now, this is what's happened. Now, they and here's the thing. When they talk about Jesus, they say you can't talk about Jesus. And then the Masons that I've met are saying, no, we're Christians. I'm like, well, you can't mention Jesus in the as part of the Godhead. You can't mention Jesus at all in the lodge. No, you can't do that. But you claim to be a Christian. So they're forbidding you to use the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, if anybody forbids you to use the name of the Lord Jesus, that's basically denying that Jesus is, that he exists, and it's basically doctrines of devils, and so it's Lucifer again. Well, no, it's not that. I said, yeah, it is too. That's what it is. So, why don't you go to your lodge the next time and say, let's talk about our Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's talk about who's saved here and who's not saved and see how quickly they run you out of the lodge. Well, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. The other day, Austin and I were driving on Highway 92 going out of Lake Alfred. That sign is since gone. There's a big billboard up that says, your father was a Mason and your grandfather was a Mason. It's time for you to become a Mason. I'm like, what the heck? They don't tell you what this is and what you're getting involved in until the 30th degree. By that time, you've established all of these business contacts. You've been given favor in your business relationships. In many cases, you're very wealthy at this point. In this case, in many cases, you're very successful. Sometimes you're a multimillionaire at this time, and now they bring you this 30th degree, and they tell you, you have the right to walk away and leave now, but if you sit there and they tell you what the truth is, you're basically going to have to renounce all of your religions and Christianity and everything else, or you're going to be killed. Yeah, that's what you guys have to look forward to. Now, the Kabbalism is a system of Jewish mysticism and magic. And again, it's the foundation of witchcraft and sorcery. In fact, you can go online and you can look up stuff on the Kabbalah. I'm not going to do it. And it actually talks about the sorcery and the magic and the potions and all the things they teach them how to do using the Kabbalah. And this is where this all came from. All of the stuff with the sorcerers and the witches, all of this stuff is based in the teachings out of the Kabbalah. You say, well, that doesn't sound very much like Christianity or proper Judaism. Hey, I didn't say I agree to that. I don't think it does either. It's just some weird stuff this guy wrote in a cave. He wrote in a cave because he didn't want to get killed by the Romans. And my response is this. If he's studying the Torah, and now he's getting some division about the Kabbalah and all this sick witchcraft stuff, doesn't he realize that the word of God can't be changed like that by some vision or some entity that shows up to tell you what to write for 12 years? Seems kind of strange to me. All of it just seems weird, by the way, the more I got into this stuff. But again, this is Rabbi Ben Urbar Yochia, Y-O-C-H-A-I. And Kabbalah is woven through Freemasonry. Kabbalah are the traditions of men that nullify the word of God for the sake of the traditions. This is not Old Testament. This is the traditions. This is what Jesus called out. And remember, the rabbis, again, they don't study the Old Testament. They study the Kabbalah and the Zohar and about, I believe there's over 30 books on all of this stuff. But, you think about it for a second. The people in Hollywood who do this. You've got Britney. You had Michael Jackson, Paris Hilton, Roseanne Barr, Goldie Hawn, Diane Ladd, Laura Dern, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Taylor, she did, Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher, Mick Jagger. I mean, they don't even realize that they're being guided by a demon spirit. I'm going to talk about that right now. Now, this whole thing, the study of the Zohar to Kabbalah, is the study of the serpent. Now, you think, well, what do you mean by that? Well, they also call him the Leviathan. And the Kabbalah teaches that that God cannot be directly communicated with. In other words, even in the Old Testament, the Jews weren't allowed to talk directly to God. The Catholic Church carried a little bit of this along too. you really need to go through your priest in order to go to God, and you know, he'll make amends for you to God. He'll give you absolution. And in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones, the Levitical tribe, were the ones who went into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice for your sins, for your confessions and your sins, and you would basically give them an offering in order to repent. Well, Christianity doesn't teach that. Christianity says because Jesus Christ died for us, because we're sanctified by his blood, and because he himself was God, part of the Godhead, you know, the entirety of the Godhead is found in him, it says in the Bible, that we have the ability now to come to God, which is part of Jesus, at the throne room, and he stands as an intermediary for us in order so we can talk directly to God. So this morning, I prayed for you guys. And I prayed to God to bless you and to keep you and allow his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you, to grant you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, and companionship. I pray for that. I pray for you guys every day. They believe the Kabbalah says you can't do that. The Kabbalah says you have to go to a sub-God, a little God that was created in order to get to the real God. Now, I'm going to tell you who they believe these guys' things are. They believe the real God is Ein Sof, E-N-S-O-P-H. Some people spell it A-Y-N-S-O-P-H. And they believe that he's the real God. But you don't talk to him directly. You have to go through an intermediary God on this tree of life, this spark of light, this sub-God, this fallen angel, this spirit, this other sub-God, before you can talk to God. You can't talk to yourself. They have to go before that for you. Now, this is going to get really weird now, so if you've got kids listening, you might want to cover their ears right now. If you see a rabbi who's practicing Kabbalah praying, and he's rocking while he's praying, okay, you see them do this. They're rocking. They're moving back and forth. This is going to get weird, guys. Get ready. He's simulating sexual intercourse with a goddess when he does that, one of these sub-gods and goddesses. Okay, I'm going to have to repeat that because you guys didn't hear that because it's so weird. You got to hear this one twice. He's simulating having sexual intercourse, which he feels is holy sexual intercourse with a goddess. Say, what the heck? And they stand by the wall. You'll see them. They're rocking back and forth. And then they'll take their little prayer request and they'll put them in a little envelope or a little piece of paper. They'll stick it in a crack in the wailing wall. Because remember, Ein Sof, they believe, is the God of forces, but you can't talk to him. Now, the reason he's Ein, because that's an abbreviation for the all-seeing eye of Horus. It goes right back to Egyptian mythology and mysticism coming out of the Canaanite religions. And I've done a whole show on this one, but I've never gone into this kind of detail on this. Now, the reality is this. Every time you see the Hollywood stars, you know, doing the all-seeing eye, covering one eye, they're giving homage to this god, Ein Sof, because that stands for his all-seeing eye. They're doing a Kabbalah. You know, Tom Brady with the Patriots, you know, he married Giselle, and she's a witch. And the other day I saw him in an article covering one eye, showing the all-seeing eye. You see this with pretty much every single celebrity out there who have one eye covered up and showing you this. It's on our dollar bill, guys. That's how powerful this group is. They put the all-seeing eye on our dollar bill with the pyramid on the back of the dollar. It's giving homage to Ein Sof. Now, you're not supposed to talk to this guy, though, because remember, he's too busy to talk to you. You got to go through a subgroup of little gods in order to do that. So what Ein Sof did, this serpent god, the great Leviathan, Satan, Lucifer, he's a snake god, by the way. He created a series of lesser gods, fallen angels, you know, and other different types of entities. I'm not going to speak their names right now, but you go online if you want to speak their names. I don't speak their names. I don't have to give them any credence. And then what we have to realize is the Kabbalah is a system of magic in which you can communicate with all these little gods and goddesses but not with Ein Sof because he's too busy to talk to you. But the only way you can really get their attention is you got to have sex with them. Yeah, okay, that was weird, wasn't it? Okay, but that's what they believe. The great serpent, by the way, this Leviathan, Satan, Ein Sof, resides in the tree of life. They believe this tree of life. Remember that movie Avatar, guys, in which they had to take this guy to change him from one body to another body, and they took him to that illuminated tree? They believe it's like that. They believe this tree of life is the entire universe, and somewhere in this great tree of life, there's two worlds. There's a lower world and an upper world. And because you're a subhuman, you're basically cattle or sheep, you're not allowed to go into the upper world. You have to stay in the lower world. You know, but both of these upper and lower worlds have a whole series of lesser gods and goddesses who are sparks of light created by Ein Sof. And that's why this tree is like this illuminated tree of life. Now, because you can't pray to him directly, you have to have sex with these sparks or gods in your mind, or you can pretend like your wife is one of these goddesses when you're having sex with her and you're creating holy children, and you're literally in the process of creating different things in the universe. When you have sex, you create this stuff. If you believe this stuff, this is what you're doing. Now, you have to communicate to the serpent, this Leviathan, Ein Sof, through these sparks of light. Now you think, Ted, this sounds crazy. Guys, this sounds so nutty. I felt like I needed to go, purge myself last night after I started doing all the study, and I've been doing this for weeks now. Okay? There's an inferior god on this tree called Yisod. Now you go, okay, who's he? Okay? I'm going to mention his name. He's the phallic god, or he's the penis god. Yeah, you heard me say it. I said penis on the show. So we've got a penis god, Yisod, who lives in the tree. And all he does is have sex all the time. He's always having sex with somebody or one of the other goddesses. So when you have sex with a lesser god or with your wife, you're basically, having sex with a spark goddess. You're generating a force that powers the universe. This is what they believe. And you're creating new spirits, new beings, new lights, new things in the universe by having sex, because you're always seeking the light, which Ein Sof needs more light, so he wants you to have more sex. This is a giant sex cult. It's a death cult and it's a sex cult. I said that on yesterday's show. This is what these guys believe. More sex, more light. This is what they believe. Okay? This is not Old Testament. This is crazy. This is what Madonna and Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus believe. That's why they're all so nuts. I mean, you can't read this crap and believe this stuff and not go nuts from this stuff. Did they really believe that you could go screw a spirit, excuse my vernacular, on a tree in your mind and create other beings and other entities and contact and talk to God? So the only way you can talk to God is have sex. It's a sex cult. That's why I just saw this morning on Drudge. They're opening up another giant sex club over there in England, which is going to be like in a big mansion, in which all the elite will go in and have giant orgies, and this is a giant part of the sex cult. It's all of this. All this stuff is tied directly to Kabbalah. And this Simon Bar Yochi is the one who wrote this, and he's the one who they answers to in the Masonic lodges. I mean, this is all of it. Remember, the Kabbalah studies this quote they call sacred serpent, Ein Sof, also known as Lucifer, also known as Satan, also known as Leviathan. And this is what Freemasonry is based on. This is why these guys are so obsessed in the Freemasonic lodges of rebuilding the Third Temple. Because it's all part of this. It's all part of this. I mean, when they walk in, this Yochi guy goes, who comes to disturb my sleep? I mean, it's a voice from the grave. And then you were told to say, I wish to proceed. You have to agree. Remember when I told you guys about the karma these guys believe? In other words, if Lucifer comes to your house or a vampire comes to your house, you have to invite him in. It's all based on the Kabbalah. Because they want you to say, I wish to proceed. I wish to accept what you have to say. They don't want to force it on you. Then the dead man basically says, you can turn around. You can leave. But if you stay here, you're in jeopardy. If you stay here, your fate is sealed. You're going to have to take oaths. And if you violate these oaths, you're going to die. And this is the problem with Freemasonry and these people who get involved in this stuff. And you've got to give up your own religions, everything from your life, everything from your past, everything from your childhood. You have to forget about all of it. The Masonic Lodge becomes the religion, period. And you have to accept it or you have to leave. This voice from the casket is the same guy who fought the Romans in 70 AD after the destruction of the temple, who wrote the Zohar. I mean, this is the same guy. Now, you think about it. This guy says, the best of the Christians killed them all. That's what he says. That's what he writes. He says, it's okay to have sex with a 3-year-old girl, a baby girl, or a up to the age of 9-year-old with a boy, including incest. What? They believe that this serpent is basically the Messiah, their Jesus. This is their second coming. They want to resurrect this thing. And the problem with all of this stuff is that it just gets twisted up, and it's so doggone complicated. Now, some people say this guy named Rabbi Luria also was one of the ones who wrote parts of the Kabbalah. And again, all 33 degrees are based on Kabbalah, according to Albert Pike. And see, again, they're obsessed with rebuilding Herod's temple. Now, this, all of this brings in gematria, numerology, necromancy, astrology, occult symbolism, idol worship, witchcraft, and all of this has rejected Jesus Christ. They even believe in channeling of these spirits and these other entities and other people talk to you from the dead. See, this is part of the mystery religions of Babylon. This is part of the mystery religions that we've talked about so many times in the ancient Canaanite religions of Egypt. It's a combination of all of this stuff. I mean, Helen Blavatsky talked about this stuff, about the gods and the goddesses. And Pike talked about Osiris and all these different things out of Egypt. Plus, there's a bunch of other goddesses they tie together. And remember, they borrowed a lot of these ancient writings to put together this Kabbalah. And that's the basis of the Kabbalah, the worship of entities, fallen angels, demon spirits and guides, to be able to talk to Ein Sof, while the one god's a penis god screwing everything he can find, having orgies and weird cult meetings. This is who runs the planet. These nutbags have gotten so much power through the Council of Foreign Relations and the Rothschilds, and then you throw in on top of everything else, you would throw in the dog on the guy from 1666, the guy who basically did the Sabbatane Kabbalah, the Luciferian, Sabbatane Zevi, and he says, we got to make everything as evil as we possibly can in order to bring this serpent god back up from the pit to have him rule, to bring him from the temple. And all of this stuff is tied together. It's tied together with the world religions. It's tied together with the one world government. It's tied together with globalism. It's tied together with you losing your gun rights. It's tied together with the Balfour Declaration, World War II, World War I, the rebuilding of the temple, the reinitiation of Israel. All of this stuff is based in this religion, the Kabbalah. And you think, well, this is nuts. Wow, Ted, I've never heard this from anybody else. Well, you probably are going to. But here's the thing. All I can do is the research, and I got to tell you guys what this is. It's a sex god club. It's a sex death cult is what it is. They got a god that's basically a penis god. But if that's the phallic symbol you see in Washington, D.C., it's all based on this stuff with Osiris. He's basically remember the George Washington Monument. It's a giant penis in Washington. I laugh every time I see it. I laugh. I say, that's a big phallic symbol. Yeah, and they've got one of those right in the middle of Vatican Square, too. They got one over there, too, in England, right in the middle of, downtown England where they run the Vatican, or they run the money from, the Rothschilds. So the three world areas that they control, the Vatican, the Bank of England, and Washington, D.C., have penis gods, phallic symbols, set up in the middle of them. This is who runs the planet. Now, guys, listen to me. This is why I got so frustrated with my friend, my pastor buddy, who wrote that book, all right? Because he didn't address any of this. This is the last book that I won't put on the show. He didn't address any of this. He didn't talk about any of this stuff. Why? Because it's all based in Zionism. And this is why I talk so adamantly. People say to me, well, are you against the Jews? I said, no, I'm just not a Zionist. If the Jews want to do what the Jews want to do, leave the Jews alone, let them do what they want to do. I don't care if they worship a penis god or do whatever they want to do. I don't care what they do. But don't try to put your belief structure on me. Don't tell me that my little three-year-old children or grandchildren should go watch a transgender cross-dresser who's not wearing underwear and wants to flash them with genitalia and think it's okay and dress like a woman and act like a weirdo, and I'm supposed to embrace it and accept it. I'm not going to. If you want to believe all of that stuff and you want to believe – because, remember, that they believe also that abortion's okay. The homosexuality is okay. Remember, guys, Tel Aviv is the number one homosexual destination in the world. It's a communist nation. I posted on the website, I think it was last year, they had another big demonstration. The communists came out, and they weren't communist enough. They weren't socialist enough. They show up outside, in Tel Aviv, protesting, and they're running around with a guillotine. A guillotine. And you're like, what the heck are they running around with a guillotine for? I've sent a picture. It's on the website. You can post it, healthmasters.com. They got a picture of a guillotine. They're carrying it. They're running around showing everybody their guillotine. Well, the Bible tells us they're going to be slopping off heads in the Old Testament in the end, that people are going to die Christian martyrs. Why? Because they want their god, Leviathan, their god, Ein Sof, their serpent god, to be able to be in control of everything. And they have to run around having sex with their penis gods and their little goddesses or whatever in order to create enough sparks of light to make Einstein happy to create more energy for this thing, whatever it is. This is what they believe. Now, I know I've been redundant. I know I've said several things several times. I've done this on purpose because I want you to get this. I've made this as simple as I possibly can. I haven't given you all the names of all these goddesses. By the way, you can go to the Kabbalah. You can do research on it. It'll tell you all the names of the goddesses, who the fallen angels are. Well, they don't call them fallen angels. They call them archangels. They'll tell you who all of these little gods and goddesses are that you pray through and all these little points of life and the 12 of these guys you get to go through and all the other kinds. It tells you all of this stuff. But I suggest you don't read it. I mean, why do you want to put that mess in your head? I was purging myself all night from that stuff, and I was pleading the blood of Christ over my mind this morning before I spoke to you guys about it. I don't want to know this stuff. I don't want to know these weirdos. I already knew enough about this before I started doing the research on it. I didn't want to know it. But guys, now you know it. They got a penis god, guys. They got all he ever does is screw things. I mean, what the heck? Who comes up with this crap? Oh, that's right. It was a guy in a cave with a vision with some demon talking to him. Yeah, that would make sense after about 12 years of that. Yeah. So guys, so when you see people, then what do? They get in these rituals. They'll get in a circle. They'll all hold hands. They'll start doing their little chants. And they'll start sacrificing. They'll start drawing blood. They'll start killing the people. They'll get high on adrenochrome. They do all this stuff. It's all based on this. Witchcraft, idolatry, all of this stuff is based in this mysticism. That's why you got to reject it. And so I'm going to say something to you guys. And listen to me. I'm trying not to fuss this morning because I fussed so much yesterday on the show. You've got to stop supporting these people. If you know that Ashton Kutcher is a Kabbalist, don't go to his movies. If you know that nutbag Demi Moore is a Kabbalist, don't go to her movies. If you know that any of these people are practicing Kabbalah and they're wearing the red strings around their wrists, don't support them. If you know that a major corporation now has been shifted over like Chick-fil-A, why would you go buy sandwiches from them? Let Chick-fil-A clean their own house now. Let the relatives, unless they stole or sold all the stock, which they probably did and lost control, let them clean the mess up before you support them. You know, why would you go to any globalist business or movie? I told you, there's multiple people. I will not go see a George Clooney movie. He wasn't much of an actor anyhow, but I will not go see one of his movies. I won't do it. I won't go see a Brad Pitt movie. Now, if it's on TV or something, I can watch it for free, which I don't have TV anymore, so I don't do that either. But it's just one of those things. I won't support these guys. I won't go to a Madonna concert. I won't go to a Katy Perry concert, which I never would have done that anyhow, and I won't go to a Miley Cyrus concert. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you're supporting these people who sell these albums and talk about this stuff, why? Why would you do that when I just told you what they believe? They got this penis god screwing everything all the time, and they're praying to the penis god, and they're having their orgies to satisfy the penis god, and they're creating these little sparks of light all over the universe. This is some sick stuff. Who believes this stuff? You know, I had a friend of mine. His name is, I'm not going to mention his name. I won't do that. I've got a friend of mine. He's German, and he has a German restaurant here in town, or it's a couple miles from here, and he bought it from another German. It's a bakery, and the other German basically is dying. He's been dying of cancer for like 10 years. I mean, it's amazing. The guy's got a tremendous reserve energy, and I talked to him once about Jesus Christ. I said, you know, the gospel's simple. You know, God saw what was going on. He basically made himself over, exact image likeness of God, put this into the Virgin Mary, was born a man to fulfill Scripture, and he has come to redeem us back to him. That's about it. You accept him, you're saved. This is pretty much that simple. And he comes up with this theory, the guy who's dying of cancer, of all these universes. I mean, all this stuff. And then he starts talking about how he's going to get turned into a crystal. He's going to be a rock. So he's not going to die. He's going to be crystallized. And I looked at him. I said, why do you have to make this so complicated? The gospel's simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him may not perish, have eternal life. It's that simple. It's like two sentences and it says it all. Why do you have to go screw in your brain some goddess and pretend like that goddess is your wife when you're having sex with your own wife to create sparks of light
for Isof, who's too busy to talk to you, none of it makes any sense. It's just simple with the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. And that's why it says in the Bible, you know, people just don't accept it. They're compromised. The light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. The light being Jesus Christ, not all these things hanging on a tree that are creating more and more spirits and goddesses. What a mess. This is the cult. This is the Masonic Lodge. This is the group of people that are heavily involved in the CFR. This is the Bohemian Grove people with their sex cult they have out there with their homosexual orgies. This is the group of people that run the planet. This is the group of people that were almost exposed because of the Jeffrey Epstein stuff that finally got enough traction in the news. Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad agent. His girlfriend was a Mossad agent. You know, Maxwell, the publisher, he was also a Mossad agent. All of these people are bringing this work together to try to put us under Noahide laws, which is all based in the Kabbalah, which means if you worship a god other than the god, this Ein Sof clown, they're going to take your head off. So they get to run around with guillotines to prove that to you. What the heck? Are we joking us? Are we joking? No, this is how messed up it is. That's why I told you guys, just listen to yesterday's show. Today I'm calmed down. I had to calm myself down after yesterday. Today I'm telling you guys, this, the world is run by a satanic sex death cult. And Jeffrey Epstein just about was about to go to court, and all these people were going to be put on the stage and on the witness stand to talk about this stuff. And they had to make him go away. Now, I don't believe for one second that he's dead because Mossad doesn't kill Mossad. But what I am telling you is this. Jeffrey Epstein's not dead. I'll say that. And what I'm also telling you is that this cult, this sex cult, has compromised so many people through sex with young girls. When he turned 50, I can't remember. He had 3 12-year-olds sent over from France for him. 3 12-year-olds? Yeah. You know what's so funny about him? He had a thing down at a big ranch down in New Mexico he had. He wanted to have about 20 or 30 surrogates down there, and he would impregnate them with basically his sperm and create like this group of people who were going to be his little clones running around. And he wanted to have his brain frozen afterwards, or his head frozen. And you know what else he wanted to have frozen? He wanted to have his penis frozen. Yeah, you heard me say that. I figured since we're talking about penises today, we might as well talk about that too. He wanted to have his penis cryo froze because it was he basically looked at it as some kind of, I guess it was part of the penis god program. I don't know, but this is the sick crap that runs the planet. And we as Christians have compromised. We've compromised because we've allowed this teaching of Zionism, which was pushed through the Masonic lodges, which was pushed through the Balfour Declaration, which was pushed through Cyrus Schofield and Darby, and all of the other things. We've allowed that stuff to come in now and completely and totally compromise us. If a pastor, if you tell them what I just told you, and you teach them the stuff that I taught you about with Cyrus Schofield, and you teach them about the stuff with Darby, and you teach them about Samuel Untermyer, and you teach them that Untermyer declared war for international Jewry against the German people in 1933 on WABC in New York, you can look it up, which created this tremendous animosity towards the Jews in Germany, which precipitated the formation of Israel. They had to have a precipitating incident. You say, well, they wouldn't have done all that. Okay. And Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. A million Iraqis got killed for that one. Yeah, Colin Powell, who was a friend of mine back in the 90s, I knew him very well, gets up there with yellow cake uranium and go, he has yellow cake, blah, blah, blah. They're about to have nuclear. All of it was a lie. All of it is because of this death cult, this satanic sex death cult that has basically been around since the ancient days of the Canaanite fertility rituals and Isis worship and Osiris worship and the all-seeing eye worship. It's just been going on for thousands of years. That's why the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against all these principalities in these other dimensions, including apparently these little demon things and this penis god running around. What a bunch of nutbags. And the whole thing about it is, guys, it's important that you stay prayed up. It's important that you realize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's important that you realize that you have the ability to not be affected by this stuff. You know, dwell on the good things. The Bible said, you know, think about the good stuff. Don't dwell on the negative. See, they want to feed these entities in these other dimensions. They constantly create negative news. One of the Democrats said today, we can impeach Trump as many times as we want. We can impeach him as many times as we want. We can impeach any president. As long as they control the House, they can impeach any president as many times as they want. If this impeachment process fails, they can do it again. Why? It creates all the negative energy. And what's so funny to me is this. You know, we got the Jews who Trump's wooing. I mean, he's giving them everything they want with everything with Gaza and everything else. He's doing everything they want. He's giving them all of this stuff, and they turn around, and the majority of the people now are dual Israeli citizens and Jewish folks who are impeaching Trump. And you think, why would they do that? Why would they impeach their own who's doing everything for Israel? It's about controlling the narrative, guys. It's what Otto Kahn said, who helped find the full foundation of the Federal Reserve Bank, who are the second largest home in the United States, only behind the Biltmore estate. I mean, he said they control these Kabbalist groups. They control both sides of the narrative. They control the Republicans. They control the Democrats. This is what took down Building 7. This is the group. It's the satanic cult. You say, well, not all Jews are involved in it. You're absolutely right. Not all Jews are involved in the Kabbalah or screwing demonic entities. They're not involved in any of this stuff, all right? But are they involved in the Torah? Are they involved in Leviticus or Deuteronomy? I guess that depends on the individual, I guess. And see, and that's the thing we have to do. We can't throw all the Jews under the bus, but they need Jesus. But we can't believe that all Christians are Christians either. And I've talked to you this week about subplots. This has been a very interesting week of shows, by the way. The subplots in Christianity. Major Christian ministry TV shows worth billions of dollars having their daughter get married on national, international TV to a Jewish man who rejects Jesus Christ and airing the entire ceremony. What? What is that? Well, then you got to tie the Pope back into it. The Pope's doing everything he can for a full-blown ecumenical movement that started back in the 70s, in which they can bring all the world together, all the religions together through the world, one world court based out of Jerusalem, implementing Noahide laws, one world religion based out of Jerusalem, implementing this weird stuff that I'm talking about today. And if you believe in Jesus or invoke the name of Christ, you're going to have your head whopped off running around with guillotines in downtown Tel Aviv. Now, I can't be any more direct with you guys than I have been today. This is the death cult that runs the planet. And every time you dig deep enough, every time you look at anything as far as world events, world affairs, from whether it be the Rothschild banking cartel, the International Monetary Fund, you know, the Bank of International Settlements, it's all controlled through this death cult. Every bit of it. The shorting of the precious metals, continual naked shorts in the market, all controlled by these guys. They control everything. And that's why I said yesterday, if you don't have Jesus Christ living in you, through you, for you, this whole thing becomes untenable. It becomes so awful. You think, well, shoot, I got to live like this. I might as well join him and start talking about the penis god. No, you don't do that. No, you stand against it. You stand firm. What did Paul say? What did Paul say? He goes, I only want to finish the fight. I only want to finish the race. So that when I get to heaven, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the key. God, this Ein Sof character, whatever the heck that's supposed to be, it's not God. God is the great I am. He's Yahweh. If you want to call him a name, he's an entity. He encompasses the entire universe. His energy field is everywhere. He's God. And when you have a relationship with him through Christ, and you can walk in the cool of the evening and hang out and pray. Before the show this morning, I'm praying to God. I'm saying, Lord, you got to help me get through the show. This is some weird stuff. I don't want to talk about this stuff. I said, give me the strength and protect me. I plead the blood of Christ over my mind, my heart, my soul. I put angels all around me. I said, put a hedge of thorns around me. I'm talking to the creator of the universe when I do that. I don't have to go through some penis god to do that with a bunch of sickos. I don't have to do that. I can go directly to him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's what Christianity is, and that's why they're so scared of it. That's why they can say anything they want to say about Christianity. They can blaspheme the name of Jesus. They can do anything they want. I used to watch Seinfeld all the time. I always thought the Seinfeld, I pretty much watched every Seinfeld episode there ever was so many times it's ridiculous. And then finally one day I see Seinfeld on a sitcom on the show in which there's a picture of Jesus over the toilet in this bathroom and somebody urinates on it. Yeah. That was it for me and Seinfeld. I was done. And then George Costanza the other day, he comes out slamming Trump. You know, Seinfeld, of course, Costanza are both Jewish. You think, why are they doing this? It's all about control. And guys, it's so important to understand that we've got to keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus every day of our life. We can't allow these weird things to affect us. I mean, think on the good things. Think about it for a second. You still live in a country where I can do a broadcast like this and they don't show up in 10 minutes and take me away. We still live in a country that in most states, you still have Second Amendment rights, except for what Donald Trump's done. Remember, now I'm going to stop for 1 second. Remember, Ivana, his daughter, and Jared Kushner are both Shabbat members, and they practice and teach and study Kabbalah. You think about that for a second. Little red strings. They're involved in this. Now, Donald Trump realized that his own daughter has rejected Jesus Christ. He rejected the virgin birth, but he's supposed to be a Christian. And now he's got dimwit just in charge of the border wall. I mean, Kushner can't do anything. He's another trust fund baby. He's a moron. And see, this is the problem that we have, is that the Christians won't step back and look at what's really going on. The Christians won't step back and say, hey, look, here's the deal. This is bad. We need to fix it. The Christians won't step back and say Zionism is a blight against humanity. They won't do that. They won't come back and say the Kabbalah and the studying of the Zohar is a blight against the human race. They won't say that. Well, I just said it. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I had no intention on taking the entire show for this, but I needed to get this out. So you guys, listen to this. Send it out to your friends. This is what we talk about on the Ted and Austin Brewer Show that nobody else wants to talk about. I love you. I appreciate you. I enjoy praying for you every day. Austin, I'm going to let you finish this show. I know we're out of time, but God bless you guys. I appreciate you, and have a great evening, buddy, and I'll talk to you on the next show.